Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. We're getting towards the middle part of round three of the 2024 NFL Draft. The 49ers not on the clock for a while still. They have the 94th overall pick, which is towards the end here of the third round. 94 overall is the 31st pick, the second to last pick of the normal part of the third round. But then you've got some compensatory picks to close out the third round. So the Niners will be in action before the very end of the third round, but it is still a ways away. We are 10 picks into the third round of the into the third round of the 2024 NFL draft. And just to get you caught up on the last few names that have been called, we told you about one of Sterling's draft crushes, Andrew Phillips, the corner from Kentucky.
Pain!
Yeah, he goes to the Giants with the sixth pick, 70th overall. Isaiah Adams, an offensive lineman, a tackle from Illinois, to the Cardinals. A linebacker, very few linebackers. It's a relatively weak linebacker class this year. Linebacker Trevin Wallace of Kentucky goes to the Carolina Panthers. The Dallas Cowboys maybe get their an offensive line, an interior offensive lineman of the future. Connor Beebe of Kansas State.
Dude, Coops.
Yeah, he goes to Dallas there. And then Braylon Trice, an edge rusher from Washington, goes to the Atlanta Falcons with the most recent pick, the 10th pick of this third round. So you've got some offensive linemen, you got a linebacker, you've got an edge rusher, a corner in the last five picks overall. This, of course, coming after the 49ers closed the second round by drafting Florida State corner Renardo Green with the final pick of that third round. The Niners now have Ricky Pearsall, a wide receiver from Florida, and Renardo Green, a cornerback from Florida State, through their first two picks. There will be an action again before the third round does come to a close. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you on Draft Night Part 2 on 95.7 The Game. Sterling, I know there are some names there that just came off the board that you perhaps would have liked to have seen in the red and gold of the 49ers.
Yeah, I think Cooper Beebe, who went to the Dallas Cowboys, is one from Kansas State that I don't know if he fit what the Niners would like to do, but I know at this point Niner fans are just desperate for the team to take an offensive lineman, and I do think that
he doesn't matter who it is, just pick one, please.
It's at a point where it's like, okay, he plays guard. He is a player. The Dallas Cowboys, Cooper Beebe, old school style, just wants to get in your face and maul you to the ground. He's a good anchor. He's not going to get beat by these massive defensive tackles. He is someone that get him in that second level of the defense, you get him a linebacker or you get him a nickelback, he's going to really like annihilate them at the second level. And then Caden Wallace, who I think went to the Patriots, he is someone who San Francisco had their eyes on. He's 6'5", can play tackle, can play left or right tackle. He's someone who was kind of a master of none, jack of all trades. He would come in, 4-year starter from Penn State, that I do think could kind of come in and at least supplant and move Jalen Moore off the entire roster, which if you watch Jalen Moore, you're praying that eventually happens, because yikes. And even last year with Matt Pryor being the backup right tackle, it was, I hope this guy never has to play, and he didn't, thankfully. But it does feel like there's a lot of guards left, though. But the tackle position is very thin, which, like you said, and I've come to kind of lean into, your tackles next year are probably going to be Trent Williams or Colt McKivitz, which,
yep,
think of that as you will. I'll just say this.
This is exactly what they went into last year as.
Mike McGlinchey and Colt McKivitz didn't get blown up by Chris Jones twice. It was Mike Person and Spencer Burford. So it wasn't the right tackle that was the biggest need, but there are plenty of guards left, so time will tell what San Francisco does.
You think they're picking a guard with their pick here towards the end of the third round?
If they don't,
there will be hell to pay.
It'll be like, okay, now we're on day three, buddies. You're not finding, you know, well, the Niners might, but then you get into a point of desperation of, as you see every guard and tackle go off the board, it's like, okay, there's another one. Kyle, there's another one. John, somebody wake up. There's another one.
Start making calls,
like,
please.
Like, why is DJ Khaled playing in my ear? Another one. Like,
another one.
You have to get one of these guys. Now, Christian Haynes is still there. Matt Gonglaves is still there from Pittsburgh. Like, there are some bodies. Michael Jurgens from Wake Forest is still there. He has guard, center, and tackle flexibility. So it's not like there's nobody left. It's just that as you continue to wait, that board gets really, really thin, and then you have to rely on players like a Nick Zakel style, who's like, he's 2 or 3 years away, and at that point, well, you just put yourself in a place where you're almost looking for your guard to get blown up against Chris Jones again.
Yeah, last couple of picks. An edge rusher from Utah, Jonah Ellis. He goes to the Denver Broncos. So an edge rusher to the Denver Broncos. There was also an offensive tackle from Yale. I don't even think I want to try to pronounce this name, because I guarantee you I'm going to get it right. Sterling, do you know how to pronounce the Yale offensive tackle's name who went to the Chicago Bears?
To my understanding, it is Kyren. I think it's Amajibi.
Amajibi. Okay.
I hope that's right. I think that's what it is. It's an awkward name to say. And thankfully, we're not going to have to say it very often.
Yeah, the Yale offensive tackle goes to the Chicago Bears. So another tackle off the board. You're right, it's already at this stage a relatively barren tackle spot, at least if you're looking for any sort of value in the middle of the third round. But a tackle out of Yale does go to the Chicago Bears. Then Jonah Ellis, the Utah edge rusher, goes to the Denver Broncos. I will say, Sterling, if you are, and this is what you suggested all Niner fans should do, if you are a little bit concerned by Renardo Green and that pick, not necessarily because of the position, because I think getting depth at corner is a very, very smart decision, and it's why I was so upset they went wide receiver in the first round last night, because I wanted them to go corner. But you're right. If you do watch some of the tape, Renardo Green against LSU, non-conference play earlier this year, if you remember, that was Florida State's biggest win of the season. It was a reason why so many were upset that Florida State was left out of the college football playoff, even though they were undefeated. They beat LSU, which featured the second overall pick in the NFL draft, Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman Trophy this past year. It also featured two early picks at wide receiver in this draft, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, two of the best receivers in the draft, and the second drafted quarterback in this draft, lost to Renardo Green and Florida State. And Renardo Green, Florida State's number one corner, was matched up with either Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas essentially every single play of that game. And he held up incredibly well against those two. So if you are looking for a reason to be excited, you're right. Look no further than that tape. There is a reason, though, why other players are ranked higher than him, but you did see a lot of positives from Renardo Green last year. He allowed only one catch of over 20 yards a season ago. He does not get beat, and when he gets beat, it's in front of him. It's not behind him, and if there is someone that catches it nearby, he's generally a solid enough tackler that he's not going to get beaten and turn into a long yards after catch gain. So watch some of the tape. You might be a little more excited than previously thought. I think I am after watching it during that latest break, Sterling. But it is a little head-scratching considering, you're right, how many other cornerbacks were on the board at that point when the Niners made that pick.
And if you're into PFF, which I know many of us are, he had the third highest coverage grade of any ACC cornerback. So it's not as if he's a scrub and he was like a seventh round guy. He was someone that was mocked two rounds later. Similarly to Ricky Pearsall yesterday, of second round pick goes in the first round. Rondo Green, supposed to be fourth round pick, goes late round two, essentially round three. So it's not like they're...
I like the way we spin it.
Oh, you have to.
It's supposed to be a fourth, and it's basically a third round pick.
I mean, it essentially is. Like, Ricky Pearsall was essentially a second round pick, but gets a fifth year option to his name. Rondo Green is essentially a third round pick, just not in the third round. It's like, so the way you want to be positive about it is, like, it's not like he's a seventh round guy and you're just like, who is this bona fide scrub out of, you know, Wisconsin, wherever university? And it's like, oh, like, Rondo Green has played against the best competition in college football and has succeeded. And if you're a Niner fan, not knowing who he is, this kid is battle-tested, and he's feisty, and he wants to tackle, and of course, time will tell what they eventually become, Pearsall and Green, but they've gotten two guys from Florida and Florida State that fit Kyle Shanahan's fit on offense and the scheme, and Green fits what San Francisco likes out of their cornerbacks, knowing Steve Oaks is gone, and they're getting back to that Seattle read and react for the defensive line, and your cornerbacks have to be able to cover in man. Green was phenomenal in press man coverage.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see if he turns out good for the 49ers. Now, what is a little bit frustrating, I wanted to get some of the positive vibes out there and maybe a reason to be excited by Rondo Green. Well, we did get this when the pick was made from Ari Mayrov on Twitter.
Yeah.
Kind of head-scratching. So he reported that the 49ers were drafting Florida State cornerback Rondo Green, and to kind of give you a reason why maybe you believe this report, Ari Mayrov has basically predicted every single pick, right? Not predicted. He's getting obvious intel from teams.
Or he's just there and we're TV delayed. It's also an
potentially
option.
But he's been ahead of
right.
Most other sources. You follow along on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, if you're into that, a lot of these have been broken by Ari Mayrov. Who knows exactly how? Point is, it does seem like he's relatively plugged in.
He has the script, Mark. He is the script.
He has the script. He also added, at the end of saying who the Niners were picking, Florida State corner Rondo Green, he said they were eyeing offensive tackle, but their guys were off the board. Okay, and if you're just looking at the way the board fell, oh, that makes sense, because there were two offensive tackles drafted just before the Niners picked Rondo Green. But guess what? You moved back one spot, and the offensive tackle that was taken just before you have been yours. That was Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU. Right before that was Roger Rosengarten, so maybe the 49ers had a really high grade on Roger Rosengarten.
It was a gold helmet, Mark.
And maybe Blake Fisher as well, who won a handful of picks before, another offensive tackle that was out of Notre Dame. And maybe they felt like Kingsley Suamataya, for whatever reason, was not worthy of being drafted at this stage, and he was not one of their guys. But that little inclusion there, the Niners were eyeing offensive tackle, but their guys were gone. It's kind of odd, because the Niners had an opportunity to draft what many people felt was the best available offensive tackle, and they decided to move down one spot. As a result, Kansas City took that tackle, and then the Niners were left potentially scrambling for a different position.
Is there credence to maybe the Ravens have taken both the Niners draft picks right in front of them the past two nights?
So Roger Rosengarten
and Nate
tonight,
Wiggins and Roger Rosengarten.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins, a corner from Clemson.
Like, you got to think Kyle sitting there like, darn you, John Harbaugh, just like shaking his fist like, I wanted him. But yeah, if you wanted a tackle,
just take the tackle and don't trade back.
And even if Suamataya wasn't your guy, Patrick Paul went to the Dolphins earlier in the round as well from Houston, 6'7". He can play left tackle. He has 36-inch arms. He's 333 pounds. On NFL Network, it literally said, huge! In exclamation points. So, like, massive human being, phenomenal pass protector. That said, even if you weren't in on Suamataya, you're telling me nobody in the second round would say, hey, at pick 60, we'll give you 63 and pick 124. Go and get Roger Rosengarten. Now, maybe they tried.
Or
go ahead.
Or find somebody else later in the third round to trade back to.
Yeah.
Instead of just moving back one spot and then reaching big for your corner, you could have potentially gotten more value. Is also something to consider.
One take last night. The Niners did try to move back, according to Albert Breer, and nobody bit, or the compensation they were going to receive wasn't good enough, and they felt that they weren't going to get Pearsall, who they viewed as the best remaining receiver on the board, if they moved back. All that could be true. All of that could be false.
Yeah.
And the Niners could have sat there at 63 and said, you know what, like, let's try to get to 55. Like, that to me, I think, is a good spot for them, but they didn't move up. They couldn't move up, and as of right now, again, Matt Gunn-Cloves from Pittsburgh is off the board, too. So the tackle market's thinning out. The guard market is still relatively strong. But if you wanted a tackle, get a tackle. It's not like
a lot of tackles
you can't move up.
In addition to Matt Gunn-Cloves, who you just mentioned, out of Pittsburgh, the tackle who goes to the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, these were a couple of trades. The Colts traded up to this pick to take him just before the Texans traded up to take Kalen Bullock, a safety out of USC, with the 14th pick of the third round, 78th overall. The pick before that was the Las Vegas Raiders. They selected Maryland offensive tackle Delmar Glaze. So you've got three offensive tackles in the last five picks. The Niners are still, 14, 15 picks away from being on the clock. And you're right. You said the offensive tackle position was thinning out like eight picks ago. It is even thinner now with three tackles off the board in the last five picks. And I think we got to just simply accept the fact that the Niners do not think that they need one of the top 20 tackles in this draft. It seems relatively obvious at this stage, because if what we have learned tonight and last night, and I guess relatively speaking, this entire Shanahan Lynch era, they do not care if they're reaching in the eyes of anybody else. So if they had a tackle that they really liked that, say, would be a reach at this stage, they're not scared to take them. What this is telling you is they don't think any of the tackles here are very good, or they feel they don't need a tackle. It's one of those two things.
But then you hear a report that says they wanted a tackle. So it's not like they haven't been trying to get a tackle, or at least they haven't been interested in getting a tackle. I don't know if it's just the person on the board at the time.
So maybe the answer is what you were talking about earlier. It's just being more aggressive, working the phones, and trading away a fifth and a fourth and getting up to earlier in the second round and taking the guy you really wanted.
And now we sit here with roughly 14, 15 picks left in the third round. It's not like there's a lot of time left day two.
Like, so many people and who know so much more about this draft than I do, like, this is late second, a lot of the third. It's like a sweet spot of this draft where there's so many really talented players that are coming off of the board. And for a team that has been so aggressive moving around at times, you have this team, all they've done is move back one slot and potentially get the tackle they were eyeing swooped away from them.
And even on the YouTube chat, they can see everyone being like, not going offensive line, not going tackle. Like, what's going on? People are saying F those picks, and those picks aren't very good, and like, they're angry. And I get it. I get it. Like, the Niner fans, the faithful, have the right to at least question what is the draft, like, plan. Because last year, through three rounds, we didn't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick. And we watched them go consecutively or darn near so. Jair Brown, who I think we all like. Jake Moody, who was really rocky and is maybe still a question mark this year. Then it was Cam Latu, who didn't play a single day of the season last year and got hurt. And collectively, from me to you to everybody and their mother was like, what are we doing? He's a sixth-round pick. Like, that's more than Bernardo Green. Like, have the Niners taken Cam Latu in round three, which they did last year. That's so egregious of a reach. Green isn't that bad, but the fact is, it's not like you haven't had two examples to glean from and learn from and say, hey, what do we need the most and what falters in the biggest game of the year? Oh, It's the same position twice. Right guard. Why have they not addressed? And they might, but Christian Haynes is probably going to go to Seattle here. And I've already seen it on Twitter, so I'll say it now. Christian Haynes is going to Seattle. So it's like, it's not like, and there are still players there. But you have to think of it this way. Shanahan is so particular about his receivers, his guards, his tackles. It's not like their list is 75 players long. It's like 10. And if you keep missing on each guy, then it's from 10 to 5 to 4 to 1. And it's like, okay, well then you got to trade the entire haul to get that guy. So you have to get the players you're liking. Right now, they've improved two positions that aren't necessarily a need.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's see, Joe Schmidt on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Joe says, when will everyone realize and stop talking about the lack of offensive line picks? They obviously feel that they can get good value fourth through seventh rounds and undrafted free agents. This draft has good offensive line depth, and obviously their board has other players graded higher than the O linemen's. The experts and all of us expected them to take. Joe, you're probably right to fire back at not necessarily you, but to the 49ers for having that line of thinking. I would just say, and Sterling, you would know this better than I as I bring up the Niners draft history. Do they have good success, offensive linemen, like in the fifth, sixth, seventh round and undrafted?
No.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And that isn't to say that this draft class isn't better than previous ones in which they've missed in. Christian Jones, tackle from Texas, is still there. You can probably get him in the fourth round. If they pick him at 94, I wouldn't be surprised. He's a really good tackle that doesn't have many weaknesses. There's players like Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. Bo Limmer is still there. Dominic Puni. It's not like there aren't bodies, but the issue is the longer you wait, the teams that didn't get guards in the first and second round go, huh, we need one now. And because you don't pick until 124 in the next round, you can trade up. That's an option. But if you continue to be patient and wait, it's not as if your selections don't get thinner and thinner and thinner.
I mean, just look at this. So 2019, you don't draft an offensive lineman until the sixth round when you draft Justin Skule. Did that go over well? I mean, really, it's a sixth-round pick.
He did save our season, though. I will say that.
But, like, he's not... And for a sixth-round pick, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But, like,
swing tackle,
honestly,
yeah,
better than you expect from a sixth-round pick. But it's not like he's a long-term answer for you. Yeah, he's not. Let's see. The year after that, they did not draft an offensive lineman. That was the 2020 draft, which was Kinlaw. Oh, pardon me, they did. It was Colton McKivitz. Fifth round. A tackle in the fifth round.
Who you want to improve from.
Again, yeah, I mean, for fifth round, it's probably decent value. He's a starter for you right now, but again, it's an area where the Niners feel like they need, or where we feel like the Niners feel like they should get better. The year after that, 2021, you drafted a couple of offensive linemen. Guess what? One of them was in the second round, Aaron Banks. And while he did not play his rookie year, he is your only time you have used premium draft spots, a draft pick, to draft an offensive lineman in recent years. And guess what? You probably feel, of your five starters, you feel second best about him. You feel best about Trent Williams and then Aaron Banks.
And he's on the last year of his contract.
Yeah, you never know what that
means. So he could be gone in 1 year's time.
Jalen Moore, that same year, 2021, was a fifth-round pick. How do you feel about him, Sterling? Not good.
Stinky.
2022, you drafted an offensive lineman, Nick Zakel, in the sixth round. You got what you expected out of that. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then last year, you did not draft an offensive lineman. I just go through all of the last handful of drafts to show you, and I know it might be different this year because maybe this is a special offensive line draft, and you can get a long-term starter in the fifth round or whatever round you want to just randomly blurt out. You've drafted one offensive lineman in the first two rounds the last, like, 5 years. He has turned into a solid every week starter for you. When you draft even third, but specifically fourth, fifth, or later offensive linemen, you're not getting really anything out of those picks. Draft them earlier.
Yeah, and look, even Aaron Banks sat for a year because they wanted him to play right guard. He couldn't transition and had to move him over to left guard once Laken Tomlinson was gone. Also, My man Tip Ryman just went to the Cardinals, and I am in tears.
Oh, tight end Tip Ryman.
Oh, man. If you don't know Tip Ryman, he's 6'5", 270 pounds, 33-inch arms. When you talk about wanting to replace Charlie Warner, he is a phenomenal blocker. And he's also someone the Niners wanted to pay up for Brock Wright this offseason to be their backup tackle. Tip Ryman is someone that is great after the catch. He's good in the red zone. He's not flashy. Illinois doesn't pass the ball to tight ends a ton, but the Cardinals arguably may have gotten the third best tight end in the entire draft, and he would have fit perfectly in San Francisco.
All right, we got to hit a break. It's draft night, take two here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you. The 49ers will be on the clock relatively soon. We're at pick 83 right now. The Niners pick at 94, so we very likely might get the Niners pick this next segment, but whenever it does happen, we'll have it for you here on 95.7 The Game. It's draft night, take two. Grandy and Sterling with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you. Draft Night, take two here on 95.7 The Game as we are approaching the tail end of round number three. We have 20 picks in here to round three, 84 selections overall last night and tonight. The draft tonight runs rounds two through rounds three. So we've got just we got picks 85 through 100 left. So 16 picks left tonight because at the end of round three, there's a handful of extra selections, the compensatory selections. So the Niners pick with the 31st pick of the third round. Bills in a trade with the Chiefs, they have the 32nd pick, which normally would be the last pick of a round, but then you got five compensatory selections to close out round number three. So a bit longer round here in round three than rounds one and round two, but the Niners will be on the clock coming up in just a little bit, and we'll bring you all the action here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you. During the latest break, you didn't miss much besides a couple of Wolverines getting picked. The Michigan Wolverines go back-to-back. Blake Corum, the star running back from Michigan, one of the key cogs in Jim Harbaugh's championship team at Michigan, he goes to the Los Angeles Rams.
Pain.
So Sean McVay gets a running back. Blake Corum of the Michigan Wolverines goes to the Chargers. And then Roman Wilson, one of Michigan's better receivers, he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know the Steelers have been interested in wide receivers all offseason.
Yeah.
They were one of the main teams. In fact, lately, really the only team with major rumors swirling around Brandon Ayuk. They get Roman
and
Wilson.
And Deebo Samuel.
You're right, and Deebo Samuel. You are right. Roman Wilson to the Steelers. Blake Corum to the Rams. We're going to focus on what the Niners should do here with this third-round pick, Sterling.
Corum.
But part of this is also we got to worry about what other teams in the NFC are doing, and specifically the NFC West. I know you are a little upset and a little scared of that two-headed duo the Rams now have at running back.
I won't go as far as our pal Larry Kruger would say and comp him to Emmitt Smith. But
we got some news, Sterling.
Uh-oh, we got a trade?
The 49ers have made a trade. They're on the clock.
Shanahan's getting aggressive. Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
The 49ers have traded up to the 21st pick in the third round, 85th
Let's
overall.
Go.
With the Cleveland Browns. We do not yet know what they gave up. But, Sterling,
we're going quarterback.
They're picking next. You look at the big board. Man. Who's available? Who do you think the Niners should be targeting as they trade up from pick 94 to 85 here late in the third round?
I'm going to guarantee you and say every single position and player I tell you will probably be incorrect because San Francisco is probably going to go nuts and say, here's a guy in the seventh round we have mocked.
Look, there is one player, maybe not a major position of need.
Tell me.
Who is best available by a number of people by far.
Yeah.
It is safety Jaden Hicks from Washington State. Yeah. Many people believe the best safety in this draft. Not that the Niners necessarily need a safety. They better go offensive line. But this, so many people say best fit,
right,
or best available.
Yeah.
Best available, I think, relatively clearly, is Jaden Hicks.
So let's talk about Jaden Hicks, because safety may not be a pressing need, but there is a reality where Talanoa Hufanga either isn't here in 1 year's time or the ACL isn't 100%. And usually it takes a player one complete year on the field to kind of get their bearings. And then it takes them, once the second year begins, to become themselves again or a semblance of who they were.
Also,
but
really quick, sorry, before you continue, I said it was a trade with the Browns. It is a trade with the team right after the Browns. So the Browns are still selecting. The Niners will pick 86th
the
overall.
The Browns are stinky. Now, it'd be hilarious if they picked the player San Francisco wanted. But Jaden Hicks, kind of a throwback-style safety. He's 6 foot, 211 pounds, hard hitter. He's an enforcer. Someone who, you have Blake Corum, I give you Jaden Hicks. He will meet you in the middle, and he will destroy you. Now, see, the Browns went and got Zach Zinter from
guard from Michigan, offensive lineman.
Pains me, because I am someone, if we're going to talk about who the Niners could get here, Zach Zinter is a player that I thought just screamed Niner. He's someone that, when he got hurt at Michigan, I believe it was the national title game, the entire arena was chanting his name, Zach, Zach, Zach. He's an incredible leader, phenomenal guard. He has a smaller lower half, which can create problems with balance, but he's someone that can go to the second level. He can play guard. Like, I know he has a broken fibula and tibula is trying to kind of rehab from, but he's someone who hasn't allowed a sack in 287 pass block attempts last season.
That's pretty good.
You want to talk about getting someone that could protect Brock Purdy, it was a player like Zach Zinter. But if you want to stick on the offensive line, there is players like Michael Jurgens from Wake Forest is there, Dylan McMahon from NC State, Tanner Bordellini. There's a lot of hope here that the Niners are going to finally get their offensive linemen.
Yeah, and I do have the compensation. So the 49ers move up from 94 to 86 with the Eagles. The Eagles get 94, of course, and 132. 132 was a 49ers compensatory pick in the fourth round. So the Niners move up again from 94 to 86. Give up, of course, that 94th pick plus 132. And the Niners now are making their selection. It is, again, Anthony Spice Adams announcing.
86th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. And with the 86th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the NFC champion San Francisco's 49ers select Dominique Pooney, guard from Kansas.
We did it, folks.
Happy birthday, Tommy Harris.
We did it. We got an
offensive lineman.
Let's go.
Dominique Pooney, tackle from Kansas, 6 foot five, 313 pounds. The Niners have addressed the offensive line, and they go with a tackle. Although he has some versatility,
right?
He
can play guard. He can play center. He can play tackle. He's a phenomenal run blocker, has really quick feet. He's someone who's really calm in pass protection. He's not going to overcommit. The arm length isn't there, so he's probably going to be a guard in the NFL. But when you talk about a position of need, it may not be tackle. They like McKivitz. They like Trent Williams. Dominique Pooney is a player I could have seen them taking at pick 63 when they traded back, I could have seen them taking at pick 64. He is someone that simply fits the Niners. No sacks allowed in 324 pass blocking attempts last season. Dominic Puni, while there does need to be some refinement with the footwork and the hand placement, Dominic Puni simply just makes sense for the 49ers, whether it's left guard in 1 year's time, if Aaron Banks is gone, or it's right guard, or in a couple years, if Jake Brendel's gone, maybe he can be your center, but he screams interior mauling vicious guard to help Brock Purdy and get Christian McCaffrey open holes into the second level.
Yeah, he began his collegiate career at Central Missouri, played there for a couple of years. Actually, he was there for 4 years. One of them was odd because of the 2020 pandemic season, but his last 2 years, 2022 and 2023 at Kansas, in those 2 years, 25 games all start, so a two-year starter at Kansas. Kansas, a much better football team the last couple of seasons. Puni was a big part of that. He was a first-team All-Big 12 selection last year. He did not play in the bowl game because he opted out. In his collegiate career, 27 of his 47 games at left tackle, 13 at left guard, 3 at right tackle, but you are right. He does project to be more of an interior offensive lineman, a guard in the NFL as opposed to a tackle. This line pulled straight from The Athletic's The Beast, the Beast draft profile. He says he can play tackle if needed, but projects best as an NFL starting guard or center. So don't necessarily, Sterling, think of this as a potential replacement for right tackle Colton McKivitz. Think of it as help on the interior. You're right. That was the big issue, specifically right guard in the Super Bowl, where it was, who's going to block Chris Jones? Not me.
Nobody
was. Not me. Maybe in the future it will be this guy, Dominic Puni, the guard from Kansas. He goes to the 49ers, 86th overall, and maybe this was a spot where the 49ers realized, all right, we got to get our guy. We're getting a little bit worried that he's not going to last to us at 94. Let's trade up. You give 94 and 132 to move up to 86. You get the guy, conceivably, that you wanted, and now your fans can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. You addressed a portion of the offensive line.
Does this one single pick put every Niner fan just at ease and say, okay, we got one offensive lineman. We got a really good receiver in the first round. We have a polarizing cornerback in the second. But you got what I believe is the third highest drafted offensive lineman in Shanahan's tenure.
Let me confirm that.
McGlinchey was a first round pick, number 9, I believe. Banks was a number two, second round pick. I think Dominic Puni is this franchise's, under Kyle Shanahan's regime, the third highest offensive lineman drafted. And I honestly can't argue with any of it. And it's not just they found a guy, it's they found a guy that fits them. Like, the Niners are a team that has, I don't want to say a really specific, like, fit where you can't just kind of jam a square peg through a round hole, because a lot of the NFL runs a Shanahan style of offense, but Dominic Puni, of the guards remaining, is a very Niners just masher and mosher and just aggressive style of guard. You just say, yes, get him in the red and gold.
You are correct. It is McGlinchey first round, Aaron Banks second round, and now Dominic Puni here in the third round. Spencer Burford fourth round pick. That's the next highest.
Yeah, I mean,
in the Shanahan era.
Does that make you happy now, Mark?
I feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit better. Yes,
as
that's for sure.
As you should.
This was needed.
Yes.
This was needed badly. I would imagine they're still probably going to draft another offensive lineman at some point.
Part of me does wonder if there's going to be a tackle somewhere. And I tell you this, it may not happen. It could happen in the next 10 picks, for all I know. If there is a tackle that I want really badly, it is Christian Jones from Texas. I know Niner fans will say, it's not enough. More, more, more. Like, what are you, Adam Driver? More! Like, sure. I get it. But I do think that the Niners are in a place where, even if you did reach at cornerback with Renardo Green, okay, if Puni becomes something special and becomes a starter for the next 5 to 10 years, you're fine reaching at the second round if you get the guy you really want in the third round. And let's be honest here. On the press conference they're probably going to have in about 30 minutes, they're going to tell you, we liked Puni all along. We love what Renardo Green brings to the table. And that's all going to be true, but I do think that Niner fans can breathe a sigh of relief. Everything's okay. And I think that right now, you do feel a lot better with where the offensive line is, knowing, like, it's not as if it's a sixth-round pick. A third-round pick means you're going to be fighting for a starting job in training camp, whether it's usurping Aaron Banks or Feliciano. Like, the best thing for the Niners would be Puni starting at right guard, Feliciano becomes your guard, tackle, and swing center, and it gives you so much depth behind them where you can be okay losing somebody like Burford, like Zakel. Like, if you go into a year and Zakel never has to play center and Brendel gets hurt because Feliciano's there, great! We have, like, this gives not just depth, but starting potential at a position that it was very desperate to have.
6 years in college, four at Central Missouri, so he was D2, made the jump to D1 at Kansas for his final 2 years. So 6 years in college, he's 24 years old already, turned 24 in February. So you're right, this is a guy who you're not drafting him as a project. This isn't a guy who you hope to, in 3 years, is going to be good. Now, maybe ultimately he's a starter in 3 years and he's 27 years old and whatever, but this is not a guy, Sterling, where you would you plan to just bury him deep in the depth chart and have him in on the practice squad and develop there, and then ultimately he helps your team a few years down the road. This seems to be at least a pick where maybe he's a guy that can fill in for you at times this year, and at the very least, you're right, competing for a job in training camp. And maybe the Niners ultimately go with what they settled on last year towards the end of the season, which was Feliciano and at right tackle. Still, you got you've got, of course, Colton McKivitz, and you go on from there. But this does seem to be a guy, Sterling, who you would at least be able to rely on to have some sort of impact for you his rookie season coming up in the fall.
At worst, he should be a valuable depth offensive lineman for the entirety of his contract. At best, he's a dependable 5 to 10 year starter. And for the Niners to find that here, and who knows if the Packers wanted him, you never know. But what San Francisco just did, I would like to believe their draft, at least as fans would think, has went from like a big question mark to like, oh, it's a B-plus now.
Do you like the comp? You move up from 94 to 86. To do that, you give up, of course, 94 and 132. So you give up your compensatory pick
right
towards the end of the fourth round.
You still have 124. You still have, what was it, 135?
You have 124 and 135
in
the
fourth. If you like a player in the fourth round.
And remember, you previously acquired a fifth from trading back one spot at the end of the second round.
Like, there's a realistic possibility, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if they like two players in the fourth round a lot, you just package one fourth-round pick and one fifth-round pick and go get your guy and do the same thing again. So
you could make more noise here in the third.
So they have two fourth-round draft picks, two fifth-rounders, a sixth, and a seventh, I believe.
That is correct.
So
yes.
It's not like they can't be still aggressive.
You got the ammo to do other things if you want to, and you could do other things right now if there's someone else out there.
Could you imagine?
I mean, we were talking about Jaden Hicks. He's still available.
Well, if it is, Tyke Smith just went to Georgia, who Tyke Smith has safety, free safety, cornerback flexibility. He's someone that has been comped to Javon Holland from Miami, who's an Oregon Duck, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm sure you like his game, and he's someone who I would think San Francisco has in mind. But of the positions left and what San Francisco needs to target, you would assume tight end has to be one of them, unless you're comfortable going into the year with an unproven Braden Willis who got called for a holding call in the Super Bowl and maybe it cost you a touchdown or points. We could have won you that game. Cam Lott, who didn't play a single snap last year, recovering from a torn meniscus or ACL. Then you have Eric Saubert, who is just a blocking special team tight end. You can bring back Ross Dwelly, and that'll make nobody happy. You lost Charlie Warner.
So it'll make George Kittle happy. Ross DeBoss.
Ross DeBoss. Yeah, whatever. I'm the boss.
The few other picks that have come off the board since the Niners picked offensive tackle Dominic Puni from Kansas, a linebacker, Marist Lufau. Out of Notre Dame.
I liked him.
He goes to the Dallas Cowboys, linebacker out of Notre Dame. Marshawn Lloyd, the speedy running back from USC, goes to the Green Bay Packers. And then the name you just mentioned, Tyke Smith.
Tyke!
Safety to Tampa out of Georgia. So Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa making some picks. Arizona is on the clock right now. They're about to make their selection. But the Niners move up. They get their guy at offensive tackle. The Cardinals selection is official. It is now Elijah Jones,
really?
Boston College corner, and okay. I can tell Sterling has thoughts.
Elijah Jones is somebody that, I'm not going to lie to you, I got into really late in the draft process. He's a former track star, academic All-American, super smart player, 4.4 speed. He's 6'1", 185 pounds, so he has good size. He had 5 interceptions in college, only allowed 32.5% of his receptions. He's someone who, when targeted, 18.1 passer rating allowed.
It's pretty good.
So I don't want to give the Cardinals credit for making a good pick, but you got Marvin Harrison. You got some other good picks so far. The Cardinals, who are a young team, they did give San Francisco fits late last season in Arizona. I know that was a win for San Francisco, but the Cardinals' offense is starting to come together, and if Jonathan Gannon on defense can find the pieces he likes, and if that includes Elijah Jones, it's not like the Cardinals are too far away from at least being a wild card and can kind of spoil a game for you.
I mean, if Kyler Murray is healthy for a whole season and, exactly, and kind of returns to form, then they become a really good team suddenly.
And then,
I mean,
you,
not like competing to win the conference, but they become a team that could certainly sneak into the playoffs.
And it's not like people have this misconception of Kyler that he's a bad quarterback.
He's a
really good quarterback.
He'd been to the playoffs with Kyler Murray.
And like, there's Call of Duty jokes, and he did quit on his team in that game, and I get it. There are certainly some things you don't like about Kyler Murray, and at this moment, I'm not too concerned with the Cardinals. But yes, the Cardinals, I think, are closer to Seattle than a lot of people think. And if they're closer to Seattle, that means they're inching their way up the NFC leaderboard. And if they're closer to Seattle, the Rams are right there, and they're clawing for them as well. So the Niners are better than the Cardinals. But if you talk about late in the season, you're in Arizona, have to get a game, I would not be surprised if push comes to shove, the Cardinals spoil somebody's season next year with the talent they've picked today.
The Cardinals have been incredibly active. Most teams have made like 3 selections at this stage. The Cardinals have made 7 picks.
They need
7
them.
Picks already. Marvin Harrison Jr., best receiver in the draft.
Great.
Very likely, there's been so many great young receivers coming into the league lately. He's probably the next one. They got Darius Robinson, an edge rusher from Missouri. Mm-hmm. Max Melton, Rutgers cornerback. Trey Benson, Florida State running back. Isaiah Adams and Tip Ryman, both from Illinois,
just
an offensive tackle and a tight end. Elijah Jones, a corner from Boston College, as we just talked about. They're adding 7 players right now through 3 rounds. They're picking early in the 4th as well. That will happen tomorrow, not today. But looking like a decent haul for Arizona. And what we were talking about before we got the Niners news that they were trading up to take their offensive lineman, we were talking about the Rams. The Rams have made 3 picks, and they're focused on the defensive line. Jared Verse with their first overall selection, the edge rusher from Florida State. Braden Fisk, also from Florida State, defensive tackle. So they're just taking
really
the Florida State defensive line and transporting them to SoFi Stadium. And then, as we talked about a little bit ago, Blake Corum, the Michigan running back. So you're looking at Los Angeles, the Rams, saying, all right, no Aaron Donald. We're going to go get a couple of guys from a really good defense in Florida State, and we're going to just plop them there and see how it works out. And then we get a nice change of pace back for a really good rookie running back they had last year.
And you go to Seattle, Byron Murphy. It's not like the NFC West. The really bad teams have had a slew of talent placed on their roster through 2 days of the NFL draft.
And they also got Christian Haynes, a guard from UConn, who I know you really like.
And so what I have noticed the past few years, though, is that Niner fans will sit back and they'll get frustrated, including myself sometimes. They'll get frustrated and saying, we're getting worse or not getting better, and everybody else, our competition, is improving.
That's what happens when you pick 31st overall.
When you pick 31st, 28th, when you're good every year, you tend to not get the best talent.
Yep.
And I get it. It's hard to sit back and watch teams like the Cardinals, Seattle, get these elite-level players or players that you may have wanted to take. I always tell Niner fans, and people on Twitter were going nuts of like, they haven't traded up for Cooper DeJean. Who is trading back from 36 or 40 to 63 unless you're giving them your entire draft class? No one is doing that. Philadelphia has simply just got lucky the last 2 days and have watched two of the best secondary pieces fall into their lap, which...
We could talk about that on the other side.
Horrible for the Niners, but I think the Niners threw three picks. They've traded back. They've traded up. They've done almost exactly as you expect them to do, play relatively conservative in regards to where they pick, but it's what they've done with the picks that still leaves me with this, like, it can be really good
and
really bad.
You're going to tell me through three rounds and the third round isn't over yet, the Niners still could make a move. We've got a handful of picks left here in this third round, and we're with you for another hour here on 95.7 The Game. But certainly if you were to tell me through three rounds, the Niners picked a wide receiver, a corner, and an offensive lineman, I probably would have said, you know what? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Now
I like it. But the order in which happened and the way in which it happened, I'm not so sure. But if you tell me the first three picks were in some order, wide receiver, corner, offensive lineman of some sort, I would probably say, okay, you know what? That sounds, I could see it. I'm not upset about it. But the way it happened is kind of confused me a little bit.
And that goes back to, do you value simply just the position or do you value the player actually at the position? Whereas San Francisco may have liked Jordan Morgan from Arizona, but maybe they valued Ricky Pearsall over every single player in regards to
and then it just
picks 31 through 45 and say, you know
just,
what?
It'll just come down
take
to
your chances.
Are you right? Is your evaluation right? And that's what the draft comes down to ultimately. And only time will tell on that.
But Caleb Williams could be horrible. And it's like, okay, like they messed it up.
Yeah. It's kind of when you have a prospect like that, like the Bears are almost, even if they don't necessarily think Caleb Williams is going to be great, just for fear of being wrong and having him be great and not picking him, you're almost kind of, when you have a prospect of that caliber, when everyone is just like, yeah, this is the best quarter, you're almost forced to pick him, even if you aren't totally sold.
The last thing you want to be is the Chargers taking Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
When Manning's right there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to hit a break. It's draft night, part two. We got one more hour with you here on 95.7 The Game. Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy. The Niners have already picked here in the third round. They traded up. There's still room and time for them to trade up again. We will see if they do that. I'm not so sure they will, but if it does happen, we're with you for the next hour. It's draft night, part two on 95.7 The Game. More action coming up next right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.